In studio with me is Rachel Govender. I'm Jonathan. And then also Therene Nell. We convinced her to stick around to share her personal testimony. And of course, we capture that live also on Facebook. So super excited with regard to that going live now on our Facebook page. And welcome to everybody who's watching this and who's listening to this as well. So Therene, it's been so encouraging just to hear a little bit. And for those who missed the interview that we did with Rochelle Lederman and Therene earlier about the song launch, you can go check it out on our Facebook page. We'll also podcast it to our website. But in terms of Story of Hope, it's very much about what God has done in your life and the process that God takes each and every one of us through. And so often when I reach out to people and say, please, would you come and share your testimony? What I typically get back is, oh, well, I don't have really exciting testimony because, you know, I didn't do drugs or I wasn't in prison or anything. And I said, like, hang on, whoa. Everybody has a unique story of what God has done in their life. Yes. So would you tell us your story, please?
Where do you want me to start?
Well, we got about 12 minutes.
Right, so, very beginning.
So where were you born? Let's start with some of the basics. Where were you born?
That's a good one, yeah. Okay, so I was born in Belleville.
Oh, cool.
I grew up there.
I live there now.
And Deaf Milan. So then moved to Durbanville. So I've been here all my life. You actually mentioned in the previous chat something you said I sound like Sonia Harold.
Yes.
Something. And I thought to myself yesterday, where did this all actually begin? And I remember vividly being 4 years old and my sister putting a brush in my hand. And I'm old enough to know this. You would be too. Don't know about you. But we had tape recorders. And if you had a TDK tape.
Oh, yeah. Then
those were the best.
That was the best.
Because they could, you know, the already long stuff.
Yeah, you could re-record.
And she pressed record. And the song she taped was Yainki.
Beautiful.
So
wow.
That's quite funny.
Now the question is, do you still have that TDK tape?
No. Oh. I know. It could have been incredible. The sad thing is, though, then life happened, right?
So at four, you were keen to sing, but then life happened.
I was going to be the next Diana Ross for Stonia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but then life happened. As it does, I think. And I think from the beginning, the enemy's plan for me was to always doubt my identity. So when you speak of a story, there's a lot I can tell, but concerning the album that I've recorded, the first song I actually wrote 17 years ago, I was happily married with two little girls, went to a women's conference, and for the first time, I actually thought, now I've got this, you know, I've got these two little girls, and I don't want them to struggle with the things I struggled with. So I asked God, how do you see me? And he answered. And that's when I wrote the first two songs, literally 17 years ago. But then, so I was now at that stage, picket fence family, and secure in who I am. I'm
part of a local church, on fire for God.
I know, leadership, identity in Christ, Allah Hukis. And then my husband said that he doesn't love me anymore and he wants a divorce.
Yo.
Now that is now the perfect plan for getting to that place again of realizing that you're not good enough. Mm. And I really believed that for a long time. But as I said in the previous chat we had also, God always turns everything around. And the funny thing is, the next five songs of my album, I actually wrote after the divorce.
Wow.
And then, as I mentioned previously, a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with burnout and depression. Mm. And the next five songs I wrote after that.
Sure.
So maybe you should invite me in 10 years' time.
For the next
we'll
album
We'll have
launch.
Another 15 songs. So hopefully it won't take 17 years this time.
Yeah.
But I think the amazing thing for me is that God does, from a place of hurt and brokenness, turn everything around.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
So if I can delve in a little bit, I mean, growing up in a beautiful city like the Greater Cape Town area, Belleville and so forth, I mean, was there anything particularly wrong with your family in terms of struggles or anything like that?
Woo, didn't think you were going to go there.
Sorry. This is Story of Hope. Let's get real.
Yeah. Ironically, that seed was planted of not being or always striving to be good enough. I grew up in a beautiful family, mom and dad, a brother and a sister. And I've actually shared this before as a testimony. My dad left when I was 4 years old. But no, it's incredible. In my head, I said to myself, if I'm going to be good enough, he'll come back.
Yo.
And then he did.
Oh, wow.
Which was incredible that he came back.
Yeah.
But it started a wrong thinking pattern in my head that now I have to... Constantly be good enough. And perform, yeah, which was another, I think, strategy of the enemy.
And that's how the devil works, hey?
Mm-hmm.
He employs strategies.
Yes.
In individuals, between married couples, in families, to set people up for failure. Because that's
sure.
his plan.
And then also, I always used to... I knew I was good, so I would be in the choir, but I wouldn't get the solo.
Okay, so you were good, but not
like
quite that good.
Never good enough. So things like that happened all my life. Since actually, I thought about it last night, 2 o'clock when I was awake.
what is it with 2 o'clock in the morning?
I know. We should have phoned each other, me and Richard.
Yeah.
But I was 14 when I gave my life to Jesus.
Okay.
Literally, I fell in love with him, and I was goody two shoes. People don't believe me. I really was. Never smoked.
Yeah.
How's
wow.
that?
You didn't even try.
Twice.
You tried,
but it didn't.
But it didn't stick.
No,
yeah.
It stank me out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then at 14, I gave my life to Jesus, and since then, yeah. I could look back and see how that thing always popped up that I'm not good enough.
Or
and that's why I always thought, you know, there's people like Rochelle Edelman and Rihanna now, and why would I have to sing because they do a much better job than I could ever do. But God does use the ordinary and turn it into something extraordinary.
And let's talk about that, because everyone, I believe, believes a lie that's sold to them either by the devil or somebody says to them straight out, you're just not good enough or whatever. And we believe that, and it shapes and molds our character in a wrong way.
Mm.
So where did you find the freedom? How did you find the freedom? I know you spoke about 17 years ago, but in terms of even just going through a divorce and the mess, and I'm sure people around you, some people are like, hey, what's wrong with you? You know?
I believe that whatever you go through, you cannot go through it without God. And I made it was a passion to not become a product of my circumstances and neither for my girls.
Mm.
So during COVID, what happened was I actually put all the songs that I've written in chronological order. And that's when I realized that the golden thread through everything was identity.
Yo, that's powerful.
And then I realized, you know, there's a reason why I have four girls. And the youngest is now 18. They're between 18 and 23.
Wow.
But the thing is, I needed to embrace all my imperfections so that they could see it's okay. I didn't want them to grow up and only at 30 discover their true identity in Christ. Because that would be a waste. And I think so often as moms, we do that. We tell them, oh, they're beautiful and they're princesses. But then we go stand in the mirror and they hear what we say.
About yourself.
And then how could they believe what we say if we don't live it? So for me, part of this restoration was being honest with me and embracing the imperfections, but also going to God and say, okay, what is in my life that you want to take away? Because you need to do that. You can't, you know, you need to deal with your stuff so that you can give freely.
Yeah. That is brilliant. So as we wrap up now, Therene, would you speak into that thing for women?
Mm-hmm.
Because just from a man's point of view, I see so many women who are broken and are hurting.
Mm.
And speak into the importance of having other ladies that speak life into your identity and encourage and so forth. And then ultimately, obviously, God the Father and what he says.
You see, it's interesting because the word says you must love others as you much as you love yourself, right? And I think we miss that part. And when I was confronted with that, I realized, how can I truly love someone else if I don't love myself? So we have to get to that place where we can actually look in the mirror and see what God sees. The problem is the world puts glasses on our eyes, glasses of rejection and assumption and comparison, especially women. And I think that's why it's so important for me that I surround myself with women that celebrate me for who I am. You know, they will pull me in line if I'm out of line. I'm not speaking about embracing sin. I'm speaking about embracing who you are. You know, as jy te hard lag,
it's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. So I think that's really important. And especially if you have goals, because we have to overcome for the next generation.
Amen. Yeah. We do. We do. Sure. Please, ladies, listen to what Therena has just said. I'm going to ask you just to end off with a prayer. Because sadly, in South Africa, we have high rates of abuse against women and children. We have high divorce rates. We have high rates of single parents where the parents never got married, you know, so it's mom or granny that raises the kids. We have fathers that just walk out and don't come back. We have so many problems, but God.
Exactly.
So could you please pray for us?
Yes. Thanks. Father God, I want to thank you for this incredible opportunity to just honor you for what you've done in my life. And because I can speak from a place of restoration, I want to come and pray for every single woman and even man that is listening to this message today. Father God, I pray that you will come and meet them where they are. I pray, Father, that they will surround them with the right people to show them who they really are. And I want to pray for those glasses, Father, that you would remove them, those glasses of hurt, of rejection, of comparison, of feeling not good enough. Father, I really pray that your Holy Spirit will come right now in that woman that is sitting there thinking she's not a good enough mom. That woman sitting there that because she was left by a husband, thinking that she will never be good enough. That granny that is sitting there with so much thoughts of the past and unforgiveness. I pray for her, Father, that she will look in the mirror and forgive herself. And I thank you, Father, that you are a healer and that you are a miracle worker and that your Holy Spirit is not only here, but you can visit everyone and every single one where they are right now. And I pray that you will do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sure. Thank you so much, Therene.
Thank you. It was a privilege being here.
So, so awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, now, for the first time ever on radio anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's only being released in a week's time, mate. Yeah.
So come
on. And my CD launch is only on the 3rd of November.
So come on. You are of the few that get to hear this song right now.
Show me the secrets to your heart. Teach me the secrets to your heart. Mold me to be whom you see. Change my identity. It's all about believing it at the cross. Here's my thought.